This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. Last week, the latest poll on the president's approval rating was received from CBS News, and the news was grim for the White House. Only 44% of Americans approve of the job President Obama is doing. When asked specifically about his performance on health care, the number dropped to an astonishing 34%. These numbers reflect not only dissatisfaction with the substance of Obamacare, but also with the process by which it was adopted, namely a hyper-partisan jam-down that broke all congressional procedural precedents. President Obama campaigned as a post-partisan candidate, one who would govern in a bipartisan manner. He has turned out to be a hyper-partisan Chicago jam-down artist, and his plummeting poll numbers reflect the public's dismay with this enormous bait and switch. The further the president goes to his left, the more his appeal will diminish. We expect this to be clearly reflected in November's vote. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Keep up with developments in this explosive election year with a subscription to Town Hall Magazine. Log on to townhallmagazine.com.
The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I hope everybody out there listening had a wonderful Thanksgiving and ate just enough, but not too much. We are, as we are every Sunday, streaming live to you on focusonfemales.com. On the left lower corner of that home page is a button. You left-click it, and you get right to the Radio Healthcare Clinic page where you can, once again, click the link to the streaming live program. And share that, please, won't you, with everybody in your family, relatives, friends, and so forth. So no matter where they are, they can listen and learn, as well as call our toll-free number and ask about their own personal medical conditions to really achieve some clarity that we all are dealing with in today's medical situations. Okay, this Radio Healthcare Clinic is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit, who also brings you the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium. The next symposium is March 21st, 2009. We had, in our third annual symposium, March of this year, over 1,100 women attend. It is a free event. Please mark it on your calendar and plan on joining us at the Tampa Convention Center, March 21st, 2009. Together, these educational programs, the annual symposium and the weekly radio healthcare clinic, these programs are designed to make you a lay expert on your own medical problems. In turn, this will better partner or enable you to better partner with your existing physician for more effective office visits, faster results, and reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. Now, today's topic is reversing dry eye syndrome. Later in the program, I have a guest who will join us, and he is consumer lawyer extraordinaire Eric Seidel, who of course, you all recognize from his daily news program, or actually news segments, and he will join us later in the program to discuss how dry eye has impacted him and what he has done to obtain relief for his dry eye. For now, let's talk about reversing dry eye. Why reversing dry eye syndrome? Why is that the name of today's segment? Well, reversing because indeed we can now obtain significant relief with dry eye symptoms. Dry eye symptoms can be devastating. Sometimes they are nothing more than an annoying nuisance. In fact, the numbers state that approximately 20 to 30 million or 40 million people have simple, mild dry eye symptoms where the symptoms are nothing more than an annoying nuisance. However, the number of people where dry eye has a greater impact, more severe cases, reach up as high as 10 million people, or approximately 10% of the population in industrialized countries. This has great impact on not just that individual suffering, but also his family. Think about all the individuals that you associate with, loved ones, family members. Indeed, each of these individuals is also impacted by your dry eye. So the more your friends and neighbors, relatives know about the considerations with dry eye to minimize the symptoms, the better it is for everybody. So really, the numbers go way up, and probably over 100 million people are affected by dry eye, if not because that individual has dry eye, but because other loved ones and so forth need to understand about how to make dry eye palatable for you. Why? Because in severe cases, indeed, dry eye can lead to blindness and loss and severe pain. In fact, many patients wind up finding the only relief to in the corner of a dark room, and they keep their eyes closed. So this is a very significant disease, one that can have great impact on the health of the individual, and it's important to understand that indeed we can make significant relief for patients suffering from dry eye. The reversing, again, goes to the fact that with the increased knowledge and understanding of dry eye, there are therapies available to us where we can mitigate the symptoms and enable you to come out of that darkened room with your eyes open and actually once again become a contributor, go back to work, interact with your family. And in fact, one of our slogans is the fact that comfortable eyes lead to restored lives. And this is so true when we see patients coming in that are suffering so profoundly and are able to restore their comfort. Now, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome is also the name of a book that I authored that was published by Yale University Press in the summer of 2007, and I'm proud to share that, and it is an honor that the book has been selected by the Library Journal as a Best Consumer Book of 2007, and by the American Association of University Presses as a Best Book of 2008. The book itself is available from Yale University Press, as well as Amazon, as well as your local bookstores, and it is written for the consumer, the first consumer book, or I should say the first book written for the consumer on dry eye syndrome, and it's an easy read. You can read it from cover to cover, or you can just dip into it for the areas of interest for you. Besides reviewing the causes of dry eye, it also discusses in more particular detail, the specific cause, in other words, in greater detail, whether it be aging and gender, allergies, toxicities, contact lenses, as well as LASIK. In fact, one of the interesting things as I sat down to prepare for the book, considering why is it that the incidence of dry eye keeps growing, and one thing we have to recognize is with the growth in technologies, for example, contact lenses, LASIK and other refractive surgeries, as well as computer use, all these types of technologies increase our risk for developing dry eye. And it does so, for example, in the case of contact lenses and LASIK and other refractive surgeries, by decreasing the sensitivity of the cornea. And, of course, the cornea is the clear tissue through which light travels to reach the back of our eyes to signal the retina and then the brain to create an image. So when the sensation of the cornea is diminished through chronic contact lens use or incising the cornea, such as what happens with LASIK, then there are decreased nerves that are signaling the tear glands to make tears with resultant dry eye. And of course, with computer use, we're staring at the screen. And when we stare at the screen, or if we stare at perhaps our hands as we're sewing, or if we're driving a car and we're staring at the road, what happens is, once again, that we don't blink. And if we don't blink, the tears that we have evaporate. At this point, I'm going to take a break here and go to a caller. Susan from Tampa, you have a question on reversing dry eye syndrome. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Well, thank you. I have a question about ceiling fans. I use them a lot in my house, and my eyes bother me, but I don't know if it's the dust on the fans or if it's the motion of the air movement on the fans.
Well, that's an excellent question, Susan. And indeed, turbulent air or moving air is a major cause of dry eye, because that moving air will increase the evaporation of your tear, leaving the eye without a tear film to protect it. So your point about dust on the fan is also an excellent point, because certainly dust and other irritants that get into the surface of they get into the tear film and reside on the surface of the eye will also act as a factor in making that tear film unstable. And when I mean unstable, that means that the cornea upon which the tears rest becomes desiccated, because the tear film breaks up or becomes unstable over those areas. So essentially the cornea can become non-wettable.
Okay.
So indeed, it's time to clean off the ceiling fans and reduce their usage to mitigate the symptoms of dry eye for you.
Okay. Where can I get your book?
You can get the book at your local bookstore. I know Barnes & Noble carries it, as well as online. You can get it by going to Yale University Press, as well as to Amazon.com.
And what is it called again?
It's called, the full name is Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, Practical Ways to Improve Your Comfort, Vision, and Appearance.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. So, thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we have another caller, Donna from Tampa. You have a question on dry eye. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Yes. My question is, what is the connection, if any, between age and the development of dry eye, and does genetics play any part in this?
It's a very good question, Donna. Thank you for asking it. And indeed, age is a very, very important cause of dry eye. In fact, probably the most important factor in developing dry eye. The reason why age is so important is because of the changes that occur in the hormones as we age. And I'll tell you, we're going to get right back to this topic, because it's an excellent topic and it requires a little bit of explanation. We're going to take a quick break, come right back in a flash, and we'll address aging and dry eye.
860 WGUL.
So much talk about bailing out homeowners and foreclosure. What about a program that helps seniors who've paid on their mortgage for years? If you're 62 or older, you may be eligible for a HUD-approved program that will pay you a tax-free lifetime monthly income or pay you a one-time lump sum. You even have the option of doing both. A reverse mortgage loan is government-insured and tax-free, and you never have to pay it back. You can use the additional income each month as guaranteed lifetime income or take a vacation. A reverse mortgage will help you fulfill your needs or dreams of a fuller retirement. To find out more, call the Seniors Who Care About Seniors at 863-248-5537. That's 863-248-5537. You've worked hard all your life. Now it's time to do what you want with a reverse mortgage. Call 863-248-5537.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness. Plus, begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Here's your exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
A tornado watch is in effect until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Rather cloudy and increasingly windy this afternoon and evening with showers and a heavy thunderstorm, high 73. Partial clearing overnight, low 57. Then a passing shower and plenty of clouds tomorrow, high 68. High 62 Tuesday with sunshine.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're with Donna. And Donna, you still there? Donna asked a question right before the break about aging and dry eye, and as well as genetics and dry eye. And indeed, aging and dry eye can be thought of as gender aging and dry eye. What I mean is that the most common forms of dry eye actually are found to be related to aging. And what happens is, especially in the female, around the perimenopausal years, the levels of hormone, specifically we're talking about testosterone here, the male hormone that is also, of course, found in the female. But as the male hormone, the testosterone, drops off fairly precipitously, the support that hormone brings to those tear glands is removed. And consequently, the tear glands start to decrease their functioning, leading to a loss of tear production. So this happens both in men and women, but of course with women during the menopausal, perimenopausal years and menopausal years, the change is so relatively precipitously compared to the loss of testosterone in the male, which occurs over decades in time. So we normally see dry eyes more typically found in the middle-aged female, whereas in the male, it's more typically found later in life. Does that answer your question?
I guess so.
Do you have a follow-up question?
Not on this particular thing, but I do have something else I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
About following up on the last caller.
Yes.
Even if you do not have dry eyes, it's best not to use ceiling fans?
That's a very good question. Different people have different levels of let's just call it reserve capacity of their tears, meaning that some people may have a stronger tear film than others, such that they may be able to withstand ceiling fans and other types of turbulent air and not develop symptoms. However, if the turbulent air becomes significant or greater than perhaps a low-speed ceiling fan, then they may start to develop symptoms. So everyone, what we're saying here is that everyone is different. Their sensitivity to turbulent air can differ from individual to individual. However, at some point in time, increased levels of turbulent air and windy air will really affect most everybody.
So I guess then if you do not have dry eyes and the ceiling fan is not precipitating any symptoms, then it's okay to use the ceiling fan on a low speed.
That's a good question, because there's one other component here, and that is the sensitivity of the cornea. If your cornea is healthy, if the cornea is healthy and you're able to, and when I say healthy, I'm specifically referring to its sensitivity. If you have normal, healthy, sensitive cornea and you're able to tolerate or be without symptoms in the setting of a low ceiling fan, then I think you're okay. However, some people have diminished sensation of their cornea. Thus, they are not aware that there are changes happening to their corneas as the tear film is maybe evaporating, and which would cause symptoms in an individual with normal sensation. And then you may say, well, how do I know if I have a normal sense, if my cornea is able to sense normally or not? One way to do that is just to take a couple blinks and just leave your eyes open and try to keep your eyes open for, say, 7 seconds or more. Actually, this is a test for kind of a gross test for dry eye. If you're able to keep your eyes open for 7 seconds or more, then the chances are that you do not have dry eye. But as far as sensation, actually, I cannot endorse this test I'm going to tell you about now. But in the office, sometimes what we do is simply just take a tissue and separate into a single ply tissue, and literally just try to tap your cornea, and you should feel it. It should be very sensitive. If you cannot do that, if you can just tap away and you don't feel it at all, well, then you've got a serious loss of sensation. And if that would be the case, then you should see your eye doctor right away, because there may be something developing. Your cornea normally is the most sensitive part of the body, more so than tooth pulp, hundreds of times more sensitive than tooth pulp.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks for listening to the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic, and please call back with any questions you have in the future.
Well, I will keep listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, a couple of things I wanted to mention here, going back to the impact of dry eye, is a study that was done a few years ago. They tried to understand the impact on the individual, and what they did was they asked a question. And the question was, if you were able to get rid of the symptoms of dry eye by trading those symptoms for cutting a few years off the end of your life, how many years would you be willing to give? So for the various different disease states, they asked people with strokes, they asked people with hip fractures and heart chest pain, angina, chest pain from heart disease, and so forth. Well, they found that the impact of severe dry eye disease was similar to that of people suffering from a disabling hip fracture and from class 3 and 4 angina. Showing that the impact on the individual is great and significant, such that there are cases, many cases, I would say, where the dry eye has been is undiagnosed, and patients are sent by their doctors to have neuroimaging done, MRIs, CT scans, because for whatever reason, the dry eye was not picked up as the cause of their pain or loss of vision, for that matter. So it's an important diagnosis to think about. It's an important diagnosis because it really can affect everybody on a day-to-day basis. When we come back, we'll take a very quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk more about what to do when dry eye drops don't work. And then we'll be joined with Eric Seidel, consumer lawyer. We'll be back in a flash.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Radio Healthcare Program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're now going to talk about what to do when dry eye drops don't work. And that's really where we begin much of our day-to-day managing of patients, because patients oftentimes come see us after seeing a dozen or so other eye doctors without relief. And it requires an innovative approach. What we're going to do, I'm going to bring my special guest today to discuss his issues with dry eye, and we'll talk about some of the innovative approaches we used to provide relief. And I'm speaking, of course, of Eric Seidel, who's a good friend and who's here with me in the studios. Eric, of course, is recognized as the consumer lawyer and can be seen daily on the television. And Eric, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here because, as you said, we've been friends for years and I've been visiting you for my dry eye problem, so I'm happy to be here.
Eric, tell us and the listeners, how long ago you realized that you had dry eye?
Probably about 2 years ago. I noticed, mostly on my commute to work, I was driving in, and I have about a half hour to 40-minute commute on my way into work, and the drive was getting harder and harder with my eyes. I was blinking a lot, and I think I was joking around with you that, sometimes when I listen to the radio, it got so bad, I was blinking in time to the music just to try to keep blinking so that I wouldn't have any sort of irritation and pain in my drive. Because, you don't want to close your eyes while you're on the road. And that's what I felt like I wanted to do. So I would just keep blinking and do like a strobe kind of effect and hopefully, be able to see everything that's going on the roadway at the same time.
And tell me, did you seek care, help for your problem at that time, or did it extend into other areas of your life?
I was seeking care for it, and it was definitely extending into other areas because I would go to an ophthalmologist, and you know they were saying, well, your eyes are kind of red. It looks like it could be blepharitis, which is something where they say your oil glands are blocked up. And then I was getting a lot of, they were saying to do a lot of eye scrubs and wipes and things like that. And, you know, at the same time, I mean, we kind of met and I was showing you kind of the stuff I was doing and, you know, telling you how it wasn't working and everything. But at the same time, I was seeing various professionals who you would think would be able to provide some type of help. But the main thing I got was eye drops. At one point, I was trying Restasis, which is what at the time was very new, kind of a way to make you make more tears and by using an eye drop.
Right.
And it was affecting everything else too, because when I do a lot of computer work because I'm writing a lot, and I would find that usually after about, gosh, only a few minutes at the computer screen, I would just feel that irritation, and I'd want to put either something cold like a compress or something on my eyes. It was just affecting both work and driving. Yeah.
And of course, at work, you have to be in front of the television cameras every day, and you have to, you know, look the part, so as they say.
Yeah, but you know, I'm wondering when I was in front of the camera, mm-hmm. and, you know, I really didn't feel it as much. I don't think viewers would look and see me blinking a lot on camera. I think there's sort of maybe almost like an adrenaline component
yes,
to
is.
It, you know, because that really it
would
clear
redness,
up.
But the redness also could be an issue.
Could be, yeah, definitely. I would use eye drops before I went on the air, but mm-hmm. I noticed that in situations of where you needed to have intense concentration, things are going on around you, activity, mm-hmm. it's not as bad. It's usually the downtime when you're just working and doing your normal, you know, in and out stuff.
Well, let's speak to some of these things. Well, actually, let's finish your story. So. You'd been diagnosed with dry eye. The problems began with a couple years ago, mostly with driving, but also noticed it with computer work.
Yes.
And these are these are some of the technology advances that we've talked about previously in the show, the driving, the computer work, contact lenses. I think you had contact lenses many years ago.
A long, long time ago, but I don't wear them now, and I didn't have any LASIK or anything like
okay.
that. But, and you know, it really wasn't as severe as to the point, I know I heard you say earlier in the show where, you know, I really sympathize for some folks, but I didn't have to go into a dark room and shut everything mm-hmm. out. It was more of a nagging annoyance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just wanted to figure out something to do for those particular times, which I'm glad we did.
Okay. So things were not getting better or maybe waxing and waning. How mm-hmm. would you describe the progression? And then when we took a look.
It just got a lot worse. Everything, you know, I'd go to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist, and, you know, they would suggest a few things. Warm compresses helped, but it never seemed to be any kind of long-term cure. And I think it just got worse and worse. Some days, you know, my eyes would just be really red, and I was putting in, gosh, I remember showing you my little kit of drops, about something like half a dozen different drops throughout the day. I mean, starting with Restasis in the morning. A lubricating saline type drop, all sorts of stuff.
And this is typical. When patients do come to me after seeing, you know, so many different ophthalmologists and optometrists, typically they've been tried on a host of different medications. Restasis does help for many people, but it's not a panacea. It doesn't help cure everybody. And the blepharitis is a common comorbid condition seen with dry eye. So the things that you were tried on that your doctors were attempting to provide you to treat you with to provide relief is a typical scenario. Do you like to discuss our findings when you came in the office?
Yeah, sure. Well, actually, and one more thing that was tried I want to mention was that they tried those, I think they're called punctal plugs, where it's a temporary plug that goes into your tear duct drainage.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
In patients that don't produce enough watery tear, and real quickly, the tear film is primarily composed of a watery tear covered by an oil layer of tear, and those tears sit on the cornea. If you don't have enough watery tear, then one of the approaches to increase that volume of water is to put a plug in the drain of the tear system. So water will accumulate, much the same as if you stop up the sink, if you turn on the faucet in your kitchen and plug up the sink. So one approach, perhaps the most common approach, is to put a plug, which is usually a silicone or plastic plug, in the drain. And What kind of results did you have with that?
I actually had an ophthalmologist put plugs in, and they just felt like something was in the eye. I just had this feeling. I didn't like it. It goes in, you know, the side that's close to your nose in the corner there on both eyes. And I just felt like whenever I opened and closed my eyelid, I felt like there was something in there, and it didn't seem to help.
And we see this very often. I'm not a proponent of plugs because I'm frequently having to take them out. Plugs do frequently auto-express themselves, meaning people often lose the plug. Some types of plugs sit on top of the lid, so they create a foreign body sensation. Other plugs don't necessarily sit on top, but they create a localized trauma to the delicate tissues in the inner corner of the eye. They also frequently are colonized with bacteria. They can also develop an inflammatory reaction called a granuloma. There are many, many potential problems with plugs, which is why I personally prefer to take the next step and actually to cauterize it or close it with, after numbing up the drain, to cauterize it with a battery-operated current. And that I do that in a way which leads to a very, very thin thin closure, which can be reopened if necessary.
Yeah, that's what you did for me. And that was actually one of the first things you did for me. And I remember, I'm not really thrilled about needles. And the idea of a hot sort of needle-shaped thing coming into the eye or very close to the corner of the eye, you know, while I'm watching it was certainly a little bit, you know, nerve-wracking. But I trusted you, and I trust you, and, being that it was numbed up with an eye drop, it wasn't really all as scary as I thought it would be. And you basically did what a punctal plug does, but by cauterizing, right?
That's right. And how did it work for you?
It was great because aside from the initial fear of, you know, okay, there's this thing, you know, it's going to seal up something in my eye, it afterwards was great. I felt that there was a lot more tear film in the eye. I have to say maybe we went a little bit too far because actually you and I, thanks to you, we were able to adjust it because the first time there was almost too much in the way of tearage, if that's a word. It was like kind of you'd feel like you'd have to keep dabbing, yeah, and feel like it's something there.
And that's why it's important. See, what we're talking about are nuances of how to successfully achieve your goal, and it's important that when this is done, it's be done in such a way that it can be reversed or to kind of tighter it to get enough tear, but not too much tear, which is what we did with Eric, so that he was able to achieve the level of watery tear he needed.
You opened it up a little bit because closing it, it felt like there was too much, and then you said, "Oh, we can adjust that." And you actually went in there and opened up the tear drain or duct, I guess, and a little bit more, and that just made it perfect because I didn't feel like there was always about to be a tear come out of my eye, but at the same time, I didn't feel like it was dry.
Now we did some other tests also to show that. That there was an increased that there's an allergic component as well, and let's just take a step aside here and state that when patients come in with dry eye, because dry eye is so complex, that's what leads to the frustration on the part of not just the patient but also the physician, because the complexity involves so many different issues of watery tear, oil tear. You've got glands that are producing the oil. You've got lashes that are sitting there. Maybe they're infected, maybe they're not. You've got the blinking issue. The blink has to be done properly. Does the blink completely cover the eye with each blink or not? There are numerous issues. So, and I always say that an initial examination in my office often takes up to 2 hours because not just do we really delve into meticulously all aspects of the problem, but also the examination. It's very, very meticulous, and the goal is to identify all the problems, and people would come to me and stating that I need a second opinion. I've got dry eye. Well, it turns out that they've got maybe a dozen different things relating to their dry eye, exacerbating their dry eye. And the way we achieve comfort for these people and reverse their symptoms is to undo the tangle of symptoms and target each individual symptom as to the cause of that symptom. And when we target those individual symptoms, then we successfully can provide relief, and patients are just ecstatic and can't believe they've suffered for so long unnecessarily. So that is the basic approach. And like with Eric, we tackled the decreased water production. We identified and treated the allergic component. And when we come back, we'll also talk about his lipid or oil tear issues and the glands that produce those oil, that oil, and how we addressed the problem and inflammation with those glands. We'll be back in a flash on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
The Prescription Addiction Radio Show.
2.5 years ago, I lost my husband. I'm questioning at this point, 2.5 years later, I don't know if my husband died of a overdose, withdrawals from hydrocodone, or genuinely died of a massive heart attack.
The Prescription Addiction Radio Show, brought to you by Novus Medical Detox, Sunday night at 9 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Here's your exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
Afternoon and evening with sunshine returning. That's your...
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back. This is Steve Maskin. I'm here with Eric Seidel, who's a dry eye patient, and we're talking about his case in particular, the identification of the problems that caused him issues when he was driving a car, working on his computer, and how they were tackled and brought under control. Eric, we've talked so far about watery tear deficiency and what was done to take care of that and bring that under control, and also your allergy component. And how we went ahead and identified and treated your allergy with topical drops. What came next with your symptoms? What developed after that?
I would say there was some redness still in the left eye, just a little bit all the time. And then one time, and this is a real comfort because I know that I've been able to call up your office on days when I've had like a real flare-up and say, can I work in? Can I come in and see you? Because I wanted to show you particularly what it was looking like and, how it was feeling at that time. And as anyone knows, anyone out there that has dry eye right now can probably relate to. I mean, it's just such a comfort to be able to call up your doctor and, not feel like, your eyeball is going to burn out or something, you know, so it was great to be able to call you. And you said, come on in. And one of the things you looked at was you asked if there was like some grainy feeling or feeling like there's something in the eye. And yeah, on that particular day in that left eye, I felt like, as I'm sure many of us do every now and then, that there's like some little grain of sand or an eyelash or something under the lid, and you looked in there.
Well, this is very important because what Eric's referring to is he thought it was a lash because it was up in the area of the left upper outer lid, but actually what he had was an obstruction of a meibomian gland. The meibomian glands are sebaceous type glands within the lids, and there's a gland associated with each lash. Actually, the orifice for that oil that the gland produces is behind each lash. And what Eric had that day was an obstructed gland. In fact, a number of the glands were obstructed to the point where he's starting to develop an early sty. And this is for a couple of different reasons. Number one, we went ahead and unblocked or unclogged the gland, and it brought him immediate relief. But also, the particular way that in which this was done, I used a device that I had developed, and there's a patent pending on it right now. But this leads to a brief discussion about the importance of identifying and obtaining a second opinion, an appropriate second opinion. If no matter what your medical problem is, of course, I take care of dry eye patients day in and day out, but no matter what your medical problem is, if you're not getting any progress, if you're not getting any relief, and if you're not getting a satisfactory explanation from your existing doctor, you need to find a second opinion. It's a healthy thing to do. You need to have it done just for your own satisfaction, if nothing else. Now, because something may be, you know, maybe being missed, for one example. And the way you do this, the most important thing to remember when you're looking for where to go for a second opinion is you want to identify someone who takes care of your specific problem day in and day out. Because that individual thinks about this disease day in and day out, not only taking care of patients with this disease day in and day out, but because of the focus on your disease, they are able to identify gaps in the existing knowledge base, formulate new hypotheses, and with that can oftentimes develop innovative approaches to resolving your specific medical problem. And this is basically exactly what happened in Eric's case. There are actually two very exciting patents I have pending to take care of patients with dry eye. One is this instrument that I have devised and created, which can actually get inside the meibomian gland and relieve its obstruction. This has not been done before and is able to be successfully relieve the obstruction, leading to immediate reduction of oftentimes tenderness, or for that matter, as we've said in Eric's case, developing sty. And the other advance that we have is a dry eye drop that imitates the natural secretion of the oil glands themselves. The purpose here is to explain that only through focusing on dry eye disease and thinking about the disease day in and day out can innovations, I shouldn't say it's the only way, but certainly is the more common way that innovations can be brought to bear. Is when you're focusing on this disease daily. So therefore, I recommend those people that are frustrated to seek out someone who takes care of their disease on a daily basis. Now, so how that tell us how that worked for you then, Eric, after that was done, and what happened. Anything after that?
Yeah, it felt great. Well, what I figure, and you could back me up on this, is that by opening up the oil gland that was backed up, more oil is released into the eye. So I was like, oh, this is great, because normally, I'm used to getting more tears, and, you know, hey, even watching a sad movie can help in bringing out those tears, but it doesn't bring out the oil.
That's right.
That sort of released and really felt so good.
And of course, what you want to do is to replicate the natural tear film, or enable the body's natural function. In this case, the tear secretions to work naturally, and by relieving the obstruction in the oil gland of the lid, that we've done is to also relieve inflammation, because when those glands are inflamed, it's called meibomian gland dysfunction. When they're inflamed, then the oil is, well, the oil continues to be produced by those glands because there's no feedback mechanism. As the oil is being continually being produced by the glands, they create inflammation, and you start getting a very firm, tender eyelid. And in some cases, it can develop into a nodule, and with a sty form as it progresses.
So, I always wondered what a sty was. You think it's like some sort of pimple or something on your eye, but it's very different.
It's very different. It's a sterile inflammation of the lid glands, the meibomian glands. And so by doing this, we relieve the obstruction. And oftentimes patients will state how, again, in those people with tenderness, immediate relief of tenderness, as well as people say their eyelid moves better over the eye. And this, of course, is related to the increased natural oil that is emitted through those now open meibomian glands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at this point in time, I'd like to thank my good friend Eric Seidel, who was willing to join me today and to share his personal story about how he successfully have brought comfort to his eye.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Steve.
Thank you. We are just about at the end of today's clinic. Next week, we will tackle osteoporosis, and the rest of the calendar can be seen on the website. We've got osteoporosis followed by sleep disorders followed by Alzheimer's right here on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic with Steve Maskin. We'll see you next week. Have a great week.
The Focus on Females Healthcare Education programs are for you. Visit our free 4th Annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 21st, 2009, at the Tampa Convention Center. And listen every Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic on Talk Radio 860 WGUL. Learn more at www.focusonfemales.com.
Now that the President and Congress have fixed healthcare in America, what's next? The President's domestic agenda calls for big changes in our immigration laws, the financial reform of Wall Street and our banking system, and even an overhaul of the public school system.
Red alert.
Now, more than ever.
Don't ever let anybody tell you to sit down and shut up, Americans.
Yeah, what she said. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. When it comes to sounding the alarms about President Obama and his agenda, no one does it better than my friend Sean Hannity. Sean has just finished his first new book in 6 years. It's called Conservative Victory. It's a stirring call to action for every conservative. And when you subscribe to Town Hall Magazine, you can get Sean Hannity's new book as your free gift. The Town Hall Magazine is loaded with must-read stories about the conservative renaissance in America every single month. To get yours, log on to townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
Hey troops, Frank Wuko here, host and commander of Need to Know. Join Talk Radio 860 WGUL as we broadcast live from one of the largest Tampa Bay area Tech State tea parties at Joe Chalora Park in downtown Tampa. Tune in from 4 to 5 p.m. this Thursday, 15 April, for a special WGUL Tax Day special broadcast with me, Frank Wuko. Then join us for a flag and sign waving just before kicking off the event at 5:30 p.m. Head to Joe Chalora Park in downtown Tampa this Thursday, April 15th at 4 o'clock and make your voice heard.
This is the Jax Files Weekend with Tom Jackson.
The former Speaker of the House, Marco Rubio, has entered the studio. Yes. Good week for you, do you think?
You know, what's happening in the... Yeah, I mean, it's all good news. I think there's a lot of work left to